Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford. As he hits one high, he hits one deep. At the track is Brennan, and this ball's gone! He's done it! John Singleton, second home of the series, gives the Astros a lead here in the bottom half of the sixth inning. It's 3-2. A towering shot that just cleared the wall and right.
There you go. John Singleton with a home run. Todd Callis with the home run call of the day. Great stuff from both of them. Houston Astros, they won. They're 11-20. You know who's ahead of them? The Oakland Athletics. You know why? Because they've won four in a row. They're 15-17. Who knew? The hottest team in baseball right now, Minnesota Twins, they've won exactly 10 in a row. They're 17-13. Still 2.5 games out from the Cleveland Guardians. All right, there's your standings update. Speaking of standings update, the Red Sox, well, they lost, but they're still 4 games over 500, 2.5 out right now, in large part, really, in the largest part, because of their pitching. And I wanted to sit down with pitching coach Andrew Bailey. We had him on the podcast before, but this conversation stretches all throughout baseball. And it really has to do with one thing. Why do we accept what has been going on when it comes to the world of baseball, the world of pitching? Why can't we change? Why haven't there been more acceptance in terms of understanding that there might be tweaks here, tweaks there, and some of the simplest stuff, like Andrew Bailey talks about on this podcast, something like throwing bullpens after games instead of before games, all of that. Why? All right, well, that's what we're here to do. We're here to evolve. We're here to educate. We're here to entertain. And Andrew Bailey does all of that. Remember, subscribe at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring. If you want a sticker, you want some stickers, subscribe. Send me the screenshot. We'll send you the sticker. It's that easy. It's science. All right, here you go. Here's Andrew Bailey.
There's no human being who I'd rather be talking to right now than Andrew Bailey.
I appreciate that.
That's all.
Thank you.
I said that last time you were on. I'm going to say it again. But we were sitting there, we're like, you know, when we had our podcast before, I think you enjoy conversation. You enjoy talking about the great game of baseball. Mm-hmm. And we said we're going to do this. And you're running around. You're a very, very busy person, which is understandable. But when we're talking about getting together, we were like, okay, well, what are we going to talk about? And you hit on something. I'm going to give you credit for hitting on it.
Okay, yep.
Which is, let's not look at things the same way. the opportunity and the ability to not look at things the same way just because we've been doing it the same way for a long time. Right?
Makes a ton of sense.
But in baseball, that's a tough nut to crack sometimes.
Right? It is. Sometimes you got to go out on a limb.
Tell me when you realized it was a tough nut to crack and that you wanted to crack.
It depends on what we're discussing, but like for me, I just want pitchers to be the best versions of themselves every single 5 days, or every single time they take the mound as a reliever. So you can look at training methods, you can look at usage rates, you can look at velo, you can look at a lot of different things that have changed over the last 10 years or so, and even more than that in baseball. Some things have taken longer than others, but I think the history of baseball and the tradition of baseball is pure and
stubborn.
What you say?
It's pure and stubborn.
Yeah, and very stubborn. Yeah. So it's hard to crack. I mean, I think you look at what the Rays did years ago with the opener and that strategy and the waves it created in baseball. I remember I was the bullpen coach in Anaheim the first time we used an opener, and I was sweating out there. I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. And now it's just part of the game, right? So I think it takes time. It takes time.
When you're talking, one of the things I'm first thinking about is you were, I don't even know how old you were, 2003, when Theo tried the closer by committee.
Mm.
And I remember sitting with him, and he's like, listen, 10 years from now, everybody's going to be doing this.
Yeah.
And the closer by committee thing, I think that we've learned, obviously there's something to it, and the premise is good, but there needed to be tweaks because you had to have the right people to do it. There is that human element of certain, players want to know when they're pitching and all of that stuff. I'm just ranting about
the
board, but that's my point, is that when things like that are brought up, we're like, what? And so for you, when you were playing, do you remember an instance of someone suggesting something? And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Maybe not, because, again, when you were playing, I don't think there was the acceptance. It's like it's been light years.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have, certain technologies or data to help with that. I remember a training method later on in my career called HRV that I remember the Mike Ranfone, who I was training with at the time, kind of still do a little bit, but he was like, hey, every morning when you wake up, I need you to get your HRV, lay flat for 90 seconds and see where your heart rate variability is at, and that'll kind of guide how we'll get after the day. And I was like, what? Okay. So I was always open to those things, trying new things, and in terms of the game of baseball, no. I mean, I think it was more natural. Hey, try the two seam, try the changeup, try the cutter, and see what fits. The game of baseball is hard to crack, and I think you're starting to see some of those effects.
For you, when was the launching point? Because we can go down a list and mention some. But for you, when do you feel sort of was a launching point in terms of your acceptance, your curiosity?
Early on.
Yeah.
I think my early pitch design was in AA, Gil Patterson and Scott Emerson with the A's. We worked through a couple things in the bullpen. I made a transition from the starting rotation to the bullpen. They said, hey, just try to throw this cutter. And, it opened up doors for me to get outs, and produce. And they're like, throw the ball as hard as you can and throw this cutter. And I was like, okay. And that's what happened after iterations of two seams and changeups and all kinds of different things. It's just not the way my body's kind of self-organized. But, I think early on I was always looking for the competitive advantage, ways to get better, and I think from a coaching standpoint, I just happened to fall into the game at the right time when there was this transition happening. And towards the later point of my career, I was kind of leaning on that data, information, technology, whatever you want to call it, to kind of get back. And so I kind of learned through using. And then from a game strategy standpoint, being in a few different organizations now, adopting different philosophies and principles and seeing how the game can kind of unwind and the strategy involved and the value of bullpen days from a win standpoint and a win expectancy standpoint. But no matter through it, you talked about the human element, no matter what we're trying to do, the communication in the clubhouse to the players is paramount to anything.
Well, that was with the shift stuff. That's the surface level example of that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Where you would have pitchers who are like, really?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, let's sit down. Let me explain this to you.
Yeah.
And even, I'm not even pitching, I remember Mookie, when they first started giving him cards in the outfield,
yeah,
they're like, what? I'm not going to look at this card.
Yeah, I used to have pitching cards and all these different things. But, yeah, I mean, information's a great, you know.
But you have to communicate. You have
the communication.
Because everybody's different in the way they accept
things. Yes, exactly. And you said layer on the human element of things. You know, who can open? You know, who can take down the ninth? You know, when do you go to your closer? What is the highest leverage point in the game? All of those things matter. But is the player prepared for it, you know, mentally, emotionally, and physically on a daily basis?
So when you get to the Giants, became the pitching coach there, what is the thing you remember sort of wanting to introduce? And maybe you're even like,
with the Giants?
Yeah, I mean, that's because that was, you know,
I had no idea what I was doing. I still don't. I remember when Cap'n Farhan hired me, I was like, I don't know. I've never been a pitching coach before, so.
But that makes it even more challenging.
Yeah,
you have ideas, and you're like, do I want to like say this?
Yeah, I still lean on everyone around me. I mean, you know, our staff is, you know, a byproduct of one, their talent, and two, the people around the staff and the resources we have. So amplifying their voices is huge, and allowing them to feel fulfillment and purpose in what they do for work on a daily basis is huge for me. I don't think anybody wants to come to work and not feel fulfilled. So allowing the people around us to do their job is really meaningful to me. And I think, you know, one of the reasons, you know, there's been some success, you know, not only in Boston and San Francisco, but really good people, you know, and allowing them to do their work. But yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit off camera about, you know, the bullpens post game.
Yeah.
And
you started. So
yeah, I don't want to take full credit.
No, I'm not asking you to take full credit. But is this the?
This is like one of the examples. Yeah. I don't think like anything pressing. There was nothing new I wanted to do in San Francisco. I think we just. Opportunity presents itself, and you make a decision on whether.
Keep an open mind.
Yeah, you keep an open mind, and you make a decision at that point in time. Do you think this is valuable for your guys, or an individual, or from a philosophical standpoint? You know, so like you look at kind of how we got through the season last year with multiple, you know, bulk pitchers in the bullpen, and going into a season with deep starters. You know, and then kind of mixing and matching, and it was just a kind of a byproduct of the roster we had, and you know, and then there's certain times here where we've had to open for different reasons and do different things. So I don't think that there's like a philosophy. I think when a team can kind of ebb and flow, you know, is really valuable. The season's fluid, right? Like you don't start the season with five starters and you end the season with five starters. And there's periods of time where you have to get maybe creative and lean on, you know, strategy a little bit more here or there. But yeah, I think like talking with, you know, Cap and you know, some other employees over in my previous employer, you know, talking about how we can support players off the field, how we can support their bodies, maximizing recovery, and it's something I still prioritize. I just remember the grind as a player of the season, and you know, one of the things that we thought about was, you know, there's always this bus, you know, 40 minutes after day games, and you're on a bus to the airport. Like, what if we made it 50 minutes or an hour, and the starters could, instead of waking up at 8 a.m. and come prep and get ready and throw a bullpen at 10 o'clock in the morning, what if they just went through a regular day, kind of watch the game unfold and then go in the sixth inning and start prepping with the trainers. And then after the game at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, go out, do your throwing program, your bullpen at a more normal time in which you would kind of get ready on a daily basis for a start. So that was one strategy we kind of implemented the last couple years.
And guys like that.
And I mean, guys are doing it here. Yeah. You know, Pivetta, Witt, Tanner, Chase Anderson did it in Seattle. Like, even our long guys in the bullpen, like, all right, hey, instead of throwing a 25-pitch pregame bullpen and then maybe needing to be available for 35, you know, 50, 60 pitches, whatever it is, for a few innings at night, why don't we just wait until after the game and do the work? So how can – my next question is, like, how can we just flip baseball on its head and just make the game the priority to show up late to maximize recovery? Because at some point in time, these guys can just, like, potentiate and phone calls and – they're good to go. They don't need to long toss or throw 120 feet or touch the slope, you know, before the game. You know, you don't have to start the engine twice. So can you just get normal throwing program post game as well? So, you know, at what point in time does the game become the priority and the work, and kind of the more traditional baseball stuff of just going to play catch before the game because that's just what we do. I don't have a reason for why we play catch before the game. Yeah, so like those types of things, kind of pushing the needle on that and challenging those perspectives are interesting. And so yeah, I think like maximizing recovery is huge, and you know, I think like taking.
It's funny you said though, like, not to interrupt, but the like. I guess we play catch.
You know? Yeah, I mean,
but those are the things that I'm talking about. Is that like we do, as you know, there's a routine. There's,
yeah,
like, this is how it's done.
Yeah. Well, and I think like what's been really cool for me is our pitchers are already kind of trying to do that. We've pushed our arrival times or throwing windows a little bit later in the day. You know, they kind of match up with like the defensive work on the field. So we're just not out on the field at 3 o'clock on the road playing catch, and then the game's at 7. It's like, okay, come later, and we hit BP at 5:20, so we'll throw at 5 o'clock. So move it back 2 hours. So I think like those types of things we can push the needle on to find just a little bit extra time for the guys to, you know, recover. And when we're working, we're working. And I think the starter bullpens was a good start to that. The guys seem to like it. No one's known the difference of, you know, a 10-minute bus, you know, needing to be pushed back here or there if it needs to happen. But I think the guys not feeling, you know, they need to wake up and rush and get ready and come at and throw a 10:30 bullpen, you know, on a Sunday, and it's, you know, you're just not ready body-wise. So pushing that back to a more normal time is seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
No, it does to me. And like I said, if they like it and they accept it, it's good. And I get, it's a results business, and the results have been good. There's a long list of things that we can say, okay, you know, we've tweaked this and we tweaked that. But I don't know if you can, but in the last, say, year, like because we're – baseball seems, especially when it comes to pitching, seems like it's evolving like crazy.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you're like – that maybe – that you have seen a change or you've implemented as a staff that you've changed over the last, let's say, again, let's say year,
yeah,
6 months, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think you always want – pitchers leveraging their strengths. So I think obviously, you know, you look at our usage rates and that's like everything everybody's talking about. But really, we want our pitchers to, they're really talented, like I said, and
throw your best pitch.
Throw your best pitch in zone. You know, I said it to someone the other day. I'm like, innately, when I was 10 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, and after school I'd ride my bike to the baseball field and play double or nothing with my buddies or wiffle ball in someone's backyard, like, I didn't try and throw the ball straight. Like, I was trying to do crazy things. I was throwing it left-handed just to get guys out or whatever. Like, submarine, you're going from all different arm angles. Like, we're really just playing wiffle ball in a major league stadium. Like, you're trying to get the opposing hitter out. And now it's not our friend in the backyard, but, like, the wiffle ball concept just makes sense to me. Like, you're trying to induce – weak contact or swing and miss. And when we were 10 years old in the backyard, we tried to make the wiffle ball do crazy things to do that. So why is it changing? And just because there's a perception of like 95 is fast means it's hard. Well, yeah, it is, but like it still has damage attached to it. So like just be a 10-year-old in the backyard and play wiffle ball with your buddies, you know what I mean, and try and get them out. And like now there's, you know, there's nuance there, of course, but and I also think that like the history of baseball just says that like fastballs are the most the pitches that pitcher A can command, and I don't think that's true. I think that everybody's different. Everybody has strengths and weaknesses, and someone might be able to command their cutter better than their four-seamer, or someone might be able to command their sweeper better than their curveball. I don't know, but like I just think that like just point blank saying that like, oh well, you know, fast, you throw fastballs for strikes, like sure, I think that makes a ton of sense, you always want strikes, but doesn't necessarily mean that's the most commanded pitch.
When you're talking to me, it makes sense to me, right? Especially I love a good wiffle ball analogy. My one finger shit kicker was off the charts.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's when you're talking, and I know this was taken, you wanted to take root in spring training and you want these guys to believe in spring training. Could you see that this acceptance of it early on, or is that a process? Because as you said, hey, fastball, strike one, let's go.
Yeah. You know? Strike one's like the best pitch in baseball, right? Yeah. But
if you have movement on it compared to
you're gonna the probability of it a positive outcome for you and the team is higher. No, I mean, I think that, you know, like I said, man, we have a really talented bunch of pitchers. We really do. And allowing them to be themselves, allowing them to create their own identity as pitchers and what they want to be. And everybody wants to be good, right? Like, everybody wants to be dominant. And buying into what they do well, their outlier pitch shapes, I really believe that, like, you know, pitchers are here for a reason because they have certain outlier qualities to them, and that's the difference sometimes between, you know, guys in AAA and guys in the big leagues. And I think for the longest time we talked about as an industry as just like a mindset. Well, I think, like, you know, there's also pitch quality aspects and command aspects and all of that stuff. So, you know, what makes you a big leaguer? Why are you here? What outlier qualities do you have relative to everybody else? And don't get off of those. Like, those are you. Like, those are what make you a major leaguer, and stick to your strengths at all costs.
So before we started talking, I was saying I'm so smart because I came up with all these numbers about the top rotations, the top two pitchers, and I mentioned ERA, and like you can see your teeth grinding. Like, what are you talking about? So, okay, so we know that ERA is maybe classified as an archaic, all stats have worth, but maybe an archaic stats. It's sort of like 5 years ago, we finally got the oldies to understand that a pitcher's record maybe not be the be-all, end-all.
Yeah.
And now it's ER. So for you, what is some quote-unquote stats?
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd mentioned FIP or XFIP. I think ERA is a fine... Fine,
I like
stat.
It. You're like, you know? I like it personally.
But like I could go out there and like I could go walk to and give up a, you know, 110 line drive into the gap, and Duran makes a diving play, and then I punch out a guy, and then whatever, Bobby saves a ground ball down the line, I'm out of it, and you can go out there and punch out three, and we both have a zero ERA.
Right.
But like, over 162 games, like, I'm gonna go give up a bunch of runs if I'm getting hit around and walking dudes, but getting out of things. So I think over a longer stretch of time, you know, I think looking at the FIP or the XFIP values are more indicative of success, and I think ERA over a small sample is just tough to look at because it's so reliant on a lot of different variables. You know, you're it just balls in play, and you know, your defense and you know, your strikeouts and walks. So like, yeah, I just think that there's some other.
So what's the next one? What's the one that maybe that we aren't, that you're, that you jump to the, you want to see a pitcher, and you want, you jump to this this whatever stat, whatever you want to call it, measurement. Because it could be, it couldn't be a stat. Maybe it's hard.
I don't know, it's not proprietary information, but I there's things that I value, and I think that there's things that our organization values. And like I said, I think like
okay, let's blink twice if it's swing and miss. Like hard hit rate. I don't know. I
think all of the metrics have their value, and like we talked about before, it's like you can drive the narrative any way you want. Like you can make a pitcher look really good with all the information. You can make a pitcher look bad, or a hitter, or whatever. There's just so much out there, and I think just holding true to what we value as a staff, creating structure and accountability around that from a process standpoint is highly valuable, because there is a lot out there. But I think if you can, as a staff and as an individual pitcher, if you can find out what you want to prioritize and what you believe works at the major league level,
Is that throwing strike one?
I mean, part of it, yeah. Part of it, yeah.
And getting outs and
all of that stuff.
Man.
Yeah.
So what is the thing that you would like to see? What is the thing that's coming that you feel like we'll be sitting here a year from now that will be more of an acceptance that's maybe not being accepted, not accepted now, but not prioritized now? Anything jump to mind?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I mean, it was, if you go back a year, like a year ago, it's like we were still getting our head around the term sweeper. You know, we're still, oh my goodness, like, how did the Rays do it? They throw strike one, like, t-shirts made up, it's great. But, you know, it's like, this stuff is changing so much. And, and you mentioned the bullpen. I mean, this is... Up until you said it a couple days ago, it made sense to me. But I don't know if there's anything in baseball that sort of be like, okay.
Not off the top of my head.
Besides, besides like pushing ERA to the side.
I think it's already been done, right?
No, not really.
No.
I mean, for relievers,
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Let me ask you this. Let's go ahead. If you have something, let me ask you this. So I don't want to get into the injury thing. We've talked about a million times.
Yep.
And there's different philosophies, and I think that you had said to, hey, listen, you know, these guys are getting more opportunity. Like, so we talk about changes, pitches, and everything else. Well, you know, a lot of them, they're getting in the door because of these changes in the pitches, and so people are like, oh, how dare you do that? You're going to get hurt.
Yeah.
So how are we going to look at, I know you got to go, but how are you going to, how do you look at that in the injury narrative potentially changing anything, or will it change anything? Or is it genie out of the bottle already? I mean,
I don't know yet. I'm not there yet. I don't think. I think like injuries are a part of the game of baseball. It's really hard to go wire to wire without injuries. You know, depth is huge. I think like the continued value of like bullpen days and bulk pitchers and those type of strategies in place of, you know, just giving traditional starts, I think we can probably be more accepting of as an industry. Think gives a better win, so a win probability. So maybe that would be my one answer.
All right. I appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.